back the way it was when we began. How did I miss the road? When did I lose the glow? Where did
let's sing that first verse together.
I can still remember the wonderful feeling back when I first got to know you. It seemed the world was mine. I had joy, but that's all just a memory anymore.
In the right place to get that restored tonight.
Look my eyes off you, Lord. And I don't want this callous feeling anymore. Oh, please bring back the way it was before. Bring back
that second verse.
Sing that first verse one more time. I can still remember the wonderful feeling back when I first got to know you. It seemed the world was mine. I had joy, I had springtime, but but that's all just a memory anymore. I guess I took my eyes off you, Lord. And I don't want this callous feeling anymore.
Prayer tonight. I know we grow and we mature and there's different stages of our Christian walk, but we can have that newness 20 years into it, 30 years into it. I just appreciate that opportunity to be that close to our King. We've got several prayer requests tonight. I'll ask Brother Terry, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. They've asked to keep Sister Lillian Vega in prayer for healing. Brother Raymond turns that in. Also for the twin sister of Sister Linda Phillips. She had a massive stroke today and is being removed from life support around 6:30 tonight. So very, very serious need there. Sister Diana Pascal from West Virginia requests prayer for a friend who desperately needs a job. Also let's pray for Ethan Finch, 14 years old, having heart problems. And then a request from Brother Mike Mayer. Please remember Melinda in your prayers. Sister Sally and Brother Don have been having a terrible time with her the last 3 days after her recent seizures. She's been biting, screaming, uncontrollably upset. Her parents, Don and Sally, have been fasting and praying, can only describe her condition as a lunatic condition. They aren't sure what to do next. Request prayer. So let's remember that family. Brother Brandon and Sister Amy Green would like to request prayer for their son Ezekiel. He's been running a fever, not feeling good. Please pray for the other boys, Josiah and Ezra, that they'll continue to stay healthy. And I believe that's it for the request. If Brother Terry don't mind, if you'll stand tonight and join Brother Terry in these prayers.
So good to be back in the house of the Lord again. Can you truly, truly, truly say that's the highlight of your week, to come to church? Yeah. Well, if our passion is Christ, it's the highlight of our week. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, my heart is just rejoicing once again that we have this opportunity and privilege to come be back in your house. We invite your presence, Lord. We don't want it just to be another meeting, because it would be just truly just a gathering if you would not come present. But where two or three are gathered, and we have several hundred, I suppose, whatever the number may be. We've all that's been birthed into the kingdom of God. We brought our elixir fire, so we know that you're present. And not only did you promise to be here, but we brought you with us when we came in. And God, we're thankful we still have a desire to serve you. If we think about these wonderful fragrances of that we have been talked about, how it's been preached about, Lord. We understand more about joy and understanding and charity and the many things that we have learned. Lord, it's a springtime. We love the springtime. A springtime to me is such a joyous thing. And the 35 years that I've been in the message, it's been springtime, because whereas we didn't know, a certain plant come up, I didn't know that was underground, or a tulip come up, I didn't know that was underground. Lord, these things that we've begun to learn and understand, we didn't know know about you, and you have unveiled yourself and truly unveiled yourself more and more and more. And as we come along, we're getting closer to the end. The unveiling of God gets richer, it gets sweeter, it gets better understanding. We're seeing you better, closer, more face to face. It's just been it's an exciting time. It's a glorious time to be living. I'm so happy, Lord, you chose me to live in this time. I pray, God, that you would just bless each one of these requests. Lord, you know the need, especially Sister Linda's twin sister. You know the condition, Lord, and you know the outcome and the destiny and all of that. Lord, be with the family there, and even her, I don't know where she's at right at this moment as we speak, but we just put it in, commit it into your hands, Lord, and each one of the requests, some not so serious, some very serious. But you heard them read, you know their need, you know the faith that the people have in regard to each one. Bring to pass the desired result according to your divine will. We'll give you praise for it. I'm sure there'll be testimonies out of this because we understand you're doing great things, Lord. You've always done that. But as we see time approach, as Brother Donnie spoke about the funeral, Brother Spencer's recently, and we just believe, Lord, for the bride, a third pull. We know it won't be a public show, but it'll be for the elected. We're just looking forward to great things, Lord. Most of all, we're looking forward to passing from this dimension to that other dimension to be with you eternally. What a glorious time it'll be. Lord, our hearts are just overjoyed. Speak to our hearts. Give us another little portion of manna tonight. Feed us. And Lord, we'll be thankful and appreciative that we got another privilege to be in your house and call upon your name. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can be seated tonight.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picks me up and turn me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the honor, all the honor, all of our praise. about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picks me up and turns me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. Well, it makes me want to shout.
Hallelujah. Brothers, come lift the offering tonight. Saved by grace. G.
Well, I was alone in the darkness, and I could not find my way. But Jesus is light on me, and He turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away.
Sing that, Brother Joel.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going one day soon, if you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going.
Don't sing it if you don't believe this.
Soon. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder.
yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Listen, listen. I can take the pain, the heartache that it brings. There's comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'm gonna run this Christian race until I see my Savior, till I see Him face to face. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be. Are you going to? Can take life's pain, the heartache that it brings. There's comfort in knowing I'll soon gonna fly away. Amen. As God gives me grace, amen. I'm gonna run this Christian. Are you gonna run this race until I see my Jesus? Till I see Him face to face. I'm going in the rapture. Amen. I'm going in the rapture. That's a promise. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. To be with my Lord. Now if you want to know where I'm going, tell your neighbor, if you want to know where I'm going one day soon. If anybody asks you where I'm going, amen. Where I'm going one day soon. Tell them for me, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Amen. To be with my Lord and my Savior and my King. I'm going up yonder. Amen. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. One more time. I'm going up yonder. Going up yonder. I'm going to set my feet on those brand new streets with my Lord. I'm going in the rapture.
If anybody's wondered, this is what the bride does on a Wednesday night. People in love with Jesus, it don't matter what night of the week it is, Wednesday night can be a special night. We would like to welcome some guests to our service tonight. Heidi and Nathan Davis would like to welcome Heidi's parents, Don and Elka White, visiting from British Columbia. Where are they at this evening? Thank you. God bless you guys. Welcome. Let's sing, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Let's all stand together as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. F. Go ahead and sing it. Go ahead and sing it.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
It's all about Verse 1. Sounds like y'all ready to have church.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord has not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." He cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. I would have too. Snake handling's never been one of my fortes. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail." Which is not a good snake handling practice. So, I mean, this is starting out wrong to begin with. You think God is telling you to go this way. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight, Lord, as we stand in your presence once more. Father, we read these things that happened so many, many years ago. Even though to many people it might be historical, yet to us, we know that you are still alive. The same God that can change a rod to a snake and change it back to a rod again. The God who can be able to display himself all those thousands of years ago is right here among us tonight. We sense you right here, Lord, your great presence. How grateful we are to know that we have the living God in our midst.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us from your word tonight. Lord, as we've been looking at the lives of the prophets and taking different ones of them, may we be benefited by gathering together tonight. Speak to us from your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look in verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It's amazing the condescension of God's grace that he would speak to a prophet in such a way that he would give him signs, and those signs would have voices. The difference between a false anointed one and a true prophet of God is that false anointed ones can have healings, miracles, signs, wonders. They can have all kinds of things like that. But their signs have no voice. You see, whenever they go to healing the sick and doing all kinds of things, and they have the same theology, you realize right there, it's not a sign from God. Because a true sign from God is given to be able to place the emphasis on the voice that will follow the sign. The same with Brother Branham. If Brother Branham would have come and just had more miracles than all the rest of the other guys and more healings and this and that and the other and went right back to the same old theology, I would have never accepted him as Malachi 4. Because the signs must precede the voice, and then the voice will come. And what was the voice? "Come out of her, my people, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Now watch what God here is showing to Moses in verse 8, as we looked at it last week, how that he reveals the messianic sign of Christ by hiding the hand in the bosom. Notice in verse 8, "And it came to pass, shall come to pass rather, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign." So what did the first sign say? What did the first sign say? There was a voice. So what did it say? Now, if you notice, God didn't say, if they don't believe the first sign, if they will not hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Now, you see, me having a Pentecostal background and being in Pentecost for years and years and seeing all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles, I've experienced signs with no voice. I saw signs, multiplied hundreds of them, with no voice. Many of you that come out of Pentecost saw exactly the same thing. So whenever I begin to hear about Brother Branham's message, it wasn't the signs, because some of the same signs that Brother Branham did, not as great as what he had in his ministry, but some of the same ones I'd already seen before I'd ever heard the name William Branham even mentioned. But there was no voice, there was no voice that would come with the sign, but it was always, well, now we're going to lift an offering. Or, I'm God's man and we're going to do this, and how many will stand with me with 100, and we'll need 7 with 100, and 10 with 50, and 20 with 20, and that was the voice behind their sign. George Washington, Ulysses S. Grant, Abraham Lincoln, and that was the voice behind the sign. But whenever I begin to hear Brother Branham, there was something different behind that sign than anything I'd ever heard before. And that's what caught my attention. Now you realize that true signs from God always have a voice. If God uses me, any of these other ministers here, and the supernatural will follow our ministry, don't just look at the supernatural that happens when we pray for the sick. But look and see what we have to say after the sick are healed. Look and see, do we take credit for that? Do we act like we were the one who performed that miracle, or do we give praise and credit to the Almighty God? Watch the voice of what we say after the sign takes place, and that'll tell you whether we're born again or not, or just a sign worker. Now watch, "It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice or the first sign." Now what's God doing? God wants them to give credit to the commission. So the sign is going to vindicate the credit to the commission that God has called this man for this purpose. Now if they won't hear the voice of the first sign, they'll hear the voice of the second sign. Now notice he said, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So God's true signs have voices, and they are words. Now to most people, when they see signs, they don't even listen for any voice, because they are following the sign. They're not trained to be able to see that a true sign from God has a voice. Always that way. When the Lord Jesus came to the earth, he wasn't just a sign worker, but he had things to do. And then what? "I and my Father are one." Whenever Paul performed miracles and Peter performed them, he said, "Don't look at us as if though we've done some great something." And then they'd stand up there, and "This same Jesus that you crucified, God's raised him from the dead. He's both Lord and Christ." That was the voice that followed their sign. Now watch in verse 9. "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou hast taken out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Now what in the world is God doing? It's almost like some of these things are close to witchcraft. It's almost like some of these signs, and they are so close that Jannies and Jambres will be able to impersonate many of them. It's as if though God sends his prophet in a way and vindicates him in a supernatural way that the carnal personators can produce much of the exact same thing. You realize it's the same way today? Now, notice God tells him if they won't hear the first voice or the second voice, then what I want you to do is go down and get a container and take some of the water out of the Nile. And then pour that water over on the dry land and that water will be changed. Now look at all of this supernatural that's taking place. I want you to cast your rod down. What's it about? The whole thing is about changing something from one thing to another. So you take your rod, you throw it down, and what? It becomes a serpent. Take it by the tail, it goes back to a rod again. Stick your hand in your bosom, you change it from being whole into leprosy. Pull it back out, put it back in again, you change it back around that they won't hear that. Then take water, pour it on the dry ground, and then I'll change it from water into blood. Watch all the signs. Change, 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 change. Signs are not just about shouting. Signs are not just about rejoicing. Signs aren't even just about healing. They are about changing us. If signs, if true signs are from God, they will change us and make us better people. If they don't, stay away from them. Now watch. So Moses is doing this by the direction of God. He's probably even wondering about it himself, wondering what in the world is that even going to be. Now remember, to the Egyptians, the Nile was a god. And of course, they had many gods. But out of the Nile River, it was the giver of life. So out of the Nile, it was their sustenance. Out of the Nile, they would irrigate. Out of the Nile comes so many things, even their crocodile, which was one of their gods. So the Nile was a associated with so much of life. Now God is going to give Moses power over the Nile. Now notice what he's going to do. He's going to go down and take the water which was sacred. It was sacred water to them. He's going to take that water and pour it up on the ground, and he's going to change the water of that Nile into something else, and it's going to totally blow their minds. Because to them, this is sacred. This is a god. This is a life-giving force, and this prophet is given power over nature. Hallelujah. Oh my. Now watch what he's going to do. Listen to this in the voice of the sign. Brother Ram said this way. Now we find that God gave Moses the signs to prove claims and callings. Every true sign that's sent from God has a voice behind it. Now don't fail. This is my last lesson on this. Every true sign, we have signs that's not from God. Satan can almost impersonate anything there is. But a true sign sent from God has the voice of God behind it. Every true sign from God has the voice of God behind it. Come on, church. I don't want you to see the signs. I want to see what the voice has got to say. So if the voice says, well, I'll go back to Laodicea, you know it's a false prophet. If it said, well, we're the only ones in there, well, you know, again, it's a false prophet. If it's a true voice, it'll go right back in perfect continuity with the entirety of the Word. Not just a quote here and one there and a scripture there. It'll go back from Genesis to Revelation and say the same thing that's already been said. Now notice he said, God said to Moses, if they won't believe the voice of the first sign, then do this other sign before them. And if they won't hear that, then take water, pour it on the ground. And that was a sign that they should be drenched in their own blood. Now God is going to reverse the power of their gods, and we won't go into every miracle here, but if you look and study their gods, the way they deified all these things, God absolutely destroyed every god that they had. Every plague, everything that Moses did was an absolute reversal of their deities, and God put his prophet in charge of every one of them. Now you laugh at prophets if you want to and make fun of them and say whatever you want to say, but I'll tell you one thing, I pity the man or the woman that ridicules and makes fun of a prophet of God, because they are God's representative on the earth. Do they make mistakes? They sure do. Do they fall short of the glory of God? They sure do. But they are still God's representatives, mistakes or not. Exactly right. Now watch, God is, remember, this is just now preparation. This is still just basically at the bush. God is still just trying to coax Moses, if you will, into doing this thing. Now notice, God tells him all that's going to happen. Now look in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent." What's that got to do with anything? I mean, what did God say? Was Moses thinking it was going to be his voice behind the sign? This is Moses' response to what God said of the voice of the sign. And Moses answers back, "I'm not eloquent. Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, heavy, great, dull, hard, difficult, burdensome, very oppressive. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." But you see, I have a problem here with this. Because in Acts chapter 7 verse 22, the Bible says Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how far we'll go to getting out of doing God's will? We'll lie. Now, Stephen said that Moses was mighty in deeds. Yet here Moses, now remember, Moses was the one who wrote this about himself. Moses was the one who wrote the book of Exodus. So he is actually writing about his own unbelief. That's a real prophet of God. A Hollywood prophet will take all of his mistakes out of his books. A Hollywood prophet or a Dallas prophet will take all of his mistakes out of his early tapes. But a true prophet of God will leave his humanity on the tapes. A true prophet of God will write about his own unbelief. A true prophet of God will write about his own mistakes. Why? He will want his followers to see that he is a man and he can be able to be used by God. And maybe that'll be a help to some of them. Oh my. Look, he totally misses. Moses totally misses what God has said. So this is his response to the voice and the sign. "I'm not a fluent speaker. I'm not a great eloquent man. God, I mean, how could I do this?" God said, "What makes you think I was dumb at you? It would have been ridiculous if you were dumber than a lard bucket. If you're the man I chose, I'll have a voice come out of your mouth." If God can use a donkey, I reckon he can use a man. Praise the Lord. If God can use a rooster, I reckon he can do whatever he wants to do. But this is how Moses hears this. "Oh, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since has spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech. And of a slow tongue." God said, "I am what I am." And all Moses can say is, "I am not. I am not. I am not." God said, "I am." Moses said, "I am not." What a team. "I am and I am not." Oh my. If God can turn a rod into a serpent and turn the serpent back into a rod, cannot he take a man's mouth and transform it into being a mouthpiece of God? Now, was Moses manifesting an attitude of humility? Now, be careful, don't answer this before you get hung. Is he really answering God in humility, or is he making excuses? 40 years before, he felt he was a man. Now he stands here, "Lord, there ain't no way in the world I can do this. I can't speak good. I can't do this, that, and the other." But yet, you know, the humble servant of God, if this is what God wants for his life, he'll do it. He don't necessarily want to, and he'll wish it was somebody else. As a matter of fact, if I could get off from here tonight and walk out of this pulpit and the Lord would never feel bad toward me, I'd change vocations in the morning. He said, "Brother Donnie, after all these years, because it's getting worse and worse, harder and harder. But I'm afraid of my boss. I'm afraid he'll fire me. Oh, I ain't scared he'll take hell. I'm just scared he'll take some fruit preacher and anoint his lips. It'll seem like it's hell whenever he gets done with me. Woo! Oh, my. And Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since I have spoken to thy servant. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have I not I, the Lord? And he said, oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. God said, I'm trying to if you'll let me. Now, Moses has not questioned that it needs to be done. He's not questioning that God can't do it. He's not questioning that the children of Israel don't need deliverance. But he just don't want to be the man to go. Send anybody, Lord, but not me. Please, God, I beg you. Oh, my. You know what this is, friend? Outright rebellion. Whew. A prophet of God? Rebelling against God? I imagine Moses must have been blushing in shame when he wrote this. Should I leave this out? No, Moses, God said, write it. Oh, my. Look in verse 14. Now, this is a side of God folks don't like to hear. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now, if this had been true humility, God would have never got angry at a humble heart. But this man is trying to hide behind, I can't do it, I don't have the ability, and I can't do this. So much of that God wants, but there's so much of that that is lying. It's outright lying. It's just as bad as the man chomping at the bits that wants to do it. Because really, a God-called man knows he's called anyway. Even though he may come right down to it, oh God, I can't do it, God, I don't want to go, but there's something down in him, really, it's always been there. My call was in me when I was a child. I looked back and realized and saw that something was in me before I was ever born again. You preachers, it's called to preach, you know it's the truth. That was born in you, but when you was born, it was there when you was a child. It was something that was in you then. It may be years and years before you come to it, but it was already there. God gives you the equipment that you'll need. All you need is a burst to be able to captivate that and put it into the program of God. Now Moses crosses the line of projecting, I can't, I don't want to go. And God gets mad. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses for objections, excuses, and delays. Not was God just angry, but notice how Moses wrote this about God. And the anger of the Lord was kindled. So God wasn't just angry and hot. He was really hot. I mean, it's like the billows was puffing on God's anger. And God said, I've just about had enough of your mouth, boy. You're upsetting me. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you's ever made God mad. I'll go ahead and raise mine. Legs, toes, feet, shoes. I guarantee you, I've made God mad a lot of times. But Brother Donnie, we're under grace. Don't you know God got saved? I didn't know he was lost. I thought we was the ones that was lost. God still gets angry. He gets upset at our stubbornness, our rebellion, our hard-headedness. Oh my. Now watch what God does. Yeah, I find this is absolutely amazing. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses and he said, is not Aaron, the Levite, thy brother? His displeasure is manifested by transferring the full honor of this office and dividing it with his brother. Which should have never had it in the first place. and will prove years later that he became an indebtedment to the children of Israel. Moses' weakness, Moses' fear, Moses' unbelief forced the hand of God to divide the glory. God never intended to use Aaron. Why not use somebody else? What did he give him? Somebody in his family. Oh my. Is that Aaron the Levite, thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. God could have went ahead and said, I'm not too glad right now, but he will be. I say there's been a few times in my life, God ain't been too happy to see me. He's felt like turning me over his big knee and wearing me out and setting me over in a corner and let me pout for a while. There's been a few times he's done me that way. Well, glory. Come on, children, you might as well be honest. I guarantee if you've been saved at least 15 minutes, you know, most of you probably got a whooping too. That's right. God lets you sit over in a corner and pout it out a little bit, but you look back and think, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that, Lord. It's not Aaron, your brother, the Levite. I know he can speak well. Notice in verse 15, thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. All right, Moses, I was going to make you the spokesman. Now I'll let Aaron be the spokesman, and I'll let you be me. How's that? Amen. Hope y'all brought your heavy-duty wading boots with you tonight. Notice what Moses is going to do. Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. Moses is going to act in the stead of God, because that's what God does to his prophets. He puts words in their mouth. Aaron did not understand what Moses understood. Aaron did not know what Moses knew. Aaron would not have the direct contact that Moses would have. So Moses would go into the pillar of fire and get the words of God, and Moses would come out and convey to Aaron what God said. He said, you will be a God to Aaron. Don't let that stumble you. Oh my. Thou shalt put words in his mouth. Things that matter. Things of substance. Oh, children, can't you see what God does to a God called prophet? Oh, it's an amazing thing. I know that they are human beings and they can stand up and quote scriptures and misquote it and this and that. I see that. He's a prophet of God. They're human beings. But when God takes a hold of them and begins to speak, thus saith the Lord, brother, you can take it to the bank. It'll come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. Notice in verse 16, he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. He shall be thy spokesman. Now look what Moses has done. Moses, because of his rebellion, has now forced his position on the hand of God and lost an affinity or closeness that he should have had. But because of that, now God said Aaron will be the spokesman. Is this your Bible? Oh my, Aaron, he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. Literally, the Hebrew is, he shall speak for thee. He shall even, he, the verb is repeated again. He shall speak for thee. Thou shalt be, now listen, and thou shalt be instead of a mouse, and thou shalt be to him. Instead of God. You want to butcher your own prophets? You want to try to build websites to run them down? God have mercy on your poor soul. Praise the Lord. Now look, this man is standing here in his unbelief right then.
And what did God say? Why didn't God strike him? He couldn't. He's ordained of God to pack this message. And what did God do? God said, I love you, Moses, and you're my man. I'm going to let you represent me. Your unbelief does not hinder my program. Your unbelief does not make me rethink this. I knew you'd do this before the foundation of the world. Before I ever made the first flea. Before I ever made the first gnat, the first fly. I knew you would do this, and I loved you despite yourself.
Oh, hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh my, Aaron was to stand between Moses and the people. Not originally. God never projected this. Moses' rebellion brought this mediatorial ship in. Oh my. Notice in verse 17, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Not any rod, but this rod. Now this was Moses' rod until Moses submitted to God, and then it becomes God's rod, and then Moses takes it back, and now it's no longer Moses' rod, it's God's rod. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And Moses went, chapter 4, verse 18, and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. I mean, this man right here has the deliverance message. And he hides it behind something that's not really totally true. I'm going to see if my brothers are still alive. He's met the pillar of fire. He's met God. He doesn't even convey the reality. He said, I'm going down to see if my brothers are still alive. Now remember, he has to get Jethro's permission because he's still under the covenant with him. So he has to get his permission, and he doesn't tell him all this supernatural that's taking place. He doesn't tell him, God's called me to set him free. He said, I'm going to go down and see if any of my kin's still alive. Praise be to God. Oh my. You imagine the type of people that God uses? He don't pick up people that's just spotless. Without fault. Their grammar is absolutely perfect. Their education is supreme. Their mathematics is oh my. Their preacher ethics is exactly right. They go to mannerism school, and even when they cough with etiquette. They wipe their sweat, even if they do sweat, with the most etiquette that a man could properly do. Pardon me while I wipe my perspiration. God never looks for people like that. And even when God chooses people, the human element is there. Come on, children. The human element is there. Every move they make is not God, but God will make his move through them, and it will be exactly God. And the humanity is what causes people to stumble at it.
Praise be to God. The Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Isn't it amazing how God synchronizes, as we mentioned it a few weeks ago, the clocks and the wheels of prophecy. The iniquity of the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, all of them is filling up. They are now becoming a disinherited people. God is moving down the land of Egypt, and the people down there under bondage. God's moving over here in Midian upon a prophet, and now the time is right. That prophet is not going to go. Apparently God deems it necessary in order for Pharaoh to be dead. And God appears to him in the pillar of fire. It ain't no wonder Moses was scared, because he knew the man that he'd run from was still alive. Why didn't God tell him that first? It might have eased a lot of trouble. God don't call us at our own pleasure.
God don't tell us things in the way. Well, Lord, if you'd have told me this then, this wouldn't have been near his heart. But now you waited till down here. God does it as he seems fit. No doubt if he'd have told Moses that up front. Well, sure, no problem. Okay, they're all dead. They're all gone. Man, I'm going right now. But God went around and around and around with him. What did it do? It brought out the provocation, brought out his weaknesses. The provocation brought out failures and things in Moses. Then God tells him, oh yeah, I meant to tell you, the guy sick in your life, he's dead anyhow. Praise God. Friends, God don't owe us nothing. The sooner we recognize that, the better off we'll be. Go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. His, not only Pharaoh, but his ministers, all the legal people that was around, they're all dead. Amen. Well, Lord, I wish I'd have known that 30 minutes ago. I went ahead and said yes then. God said, I'm trying you, boy. I want to try you to see if you'll obey me no matter what the circumstances are. If I rub down all the rough spots and make everything plain and easy, any sissy can follow me under them conditions. But I want to know, will you serve me in the middle of hell? Will you serve me when people turn their back on you? Will you live for me when people call your name? Will you live for me then? Do I have to make heaven a fiery bed of ease in order for you to pick it up? Oh my. Moses took his wife and his sons and sat them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took... different ownership now. What changed it? Supernatural. It had been the rod of Moses for all these years. But supernatural not only changed it from a rod to a serpent, from a serpent to a rod, but it changed ownership. Don't you see, friends, we can hold something ourselves and say, well, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, and you'll never do much with it as long as it's yours. But let God take it, and notice what God will do. Then God will turn right back around and give it back to you, but he'll rename it. Oh, my, then he won't call it your gift of singing. He'll call it my gift of singing I'm letting you use. Amen. He won't call it your gift to preach or your gift to play the piano. He'll say, this is my gift, but I'm going to let you use it to bless the people. Oh, glory. What do you got tonight in your hands that you can give to God, that God might give it back and rename it? Which is it worth the most, when it's your gift or his? Oh, hallelujah. And Moses took the rod of God, the sign of sovereign power. No longer Moses' rod now. Amen. And the prophet of God said if them Egyptians could have ever got that rod away from Moses, he would have been powerless. But he said as long as Moses had the rod, God had it. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. If they can get our Holy Ghost away from us, we're ruined. They can steal our website and we can keep on going. They can turn our electricity off and we can keep on going. But if they ever get the rod of God, we're powerless. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. Hey, you like to have a campaign like that? You get the results before you preach your first sermon. That's really encouraging, isn't it? God does that sometimes, so we're not all down whenever it happens. God's wanting to let him know. Now look, I'm going to tell you right up front. You're going to perform these signs and miracles and he's not going to let him go. And I'll tell you why he ain't going to let him go. Because I'm not going to let him let you go. I'm going to harden his heart and I will keep on hardening his heart until every god of Egypt has bowed down before me and my prophet. Hang on to your seat, children. God, through the prophet of God in this age, may every idol bow before the message of the hour. God, may Laodicea, bobbed-haired, painted-faced Jezebel, from the White House down to the outhouse or whatever more, their little old house on the side of the hill, God, made every one of them bow down to the last day word of God. Let them ridicule life, make fun of, but one day God will raise that little prophet up and it'll stand right there at the white throne judgment and they'll walk right up before the very prophet they blasphemed. Oh my. Isn't it amazing? God's first hardening of Pharaoh's heart came after the sixth miracle. Six. The number of man. After the sixth miracle, then something supernaturally hardens Pharaoh's heart. Now let me go into this just a little bit if you don't mind. I don't want to scare you, but I'm convinced totally that God allows people's hearts to be hardened against us. I'm convinced God will allow people in this last day before the rapture, will allow people, even some who said with among us, whether here or other churches, God will allow their hearts to become so hardened, and with that will come a reprobate mind. They will become so hardened, it will be even against their better judgment to do and say what they're doing. You know, many of them that pulled away from the message, they're not even the same people they were. Many of them were not mean, they were not hateful and contrary, but they sure are now. Come on, what's happened to them? Their heart has become so hardened to the very message they said they loved and the very people they said were some of the greatest Christians in the world. And now they hate them. They despise them. Why? Their heart has become hardened. But remember, when God allows people's hearts to become hardened against His people, it is for a benefit to His elect. There is something, oh my, that will come out of that. Remember, friends, we've talked about the press for years and years. And no doubt it'll come in many different ways. Part of it will come from this way and that way and that way. But when it begins to press against us, it will be like it was the children of Israel down the land of Egypt. And we begin to sigh and cry, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. And they press this way and politics this way. And all the religions of the world press, but let them press. Because about that time they'll be getting real close. And the pressure will come against the bride and... like a seed out of a grape, the pressure will squeeze a hold of her and shoot her right into the presence. Hallelujah! Right into the presence of Almighty God. Why? Because the pressure. Oh my. God said in this book of Exodus alone 8 times that He had hardened Pharaoh's heart. With a penal judgment. When Pharaoh now got himself, said, I'm going to let him go. I'm going to let him go. And all of a sudden something moved on. Said, I hate these people. I'll kill every one of them. I'll kill them all. Amen. Then something else had happened. He make up his mind. I'm going to let him go. I can't take this anymore. And his counselor come. Let him go, Pharaoh. Let him go. All right, I'm going to. I'm going to let him go. I'm going to let him go. And then maybe he get the thing about himself. I am not going to let him go. I hate that prophet. I hate them messy people. I hate them. I can't stand them. Amen. And their heart would get hard again. Amen. And every time their heart would get hard, the hardening of the heart made way for another miracle. Oh, glory. Every time the hearts got harder, it was making a way for another display of the power of God. Oh, my. Verse 22. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. Israel is my son. Even my firstborn. How's God going to get this property justly out of Pharaoh's hands? Jacob led them down into the land of Egypt over 400 years prior to this. Pharaoh never captured them. Pharaoh never went into the land of Canaan and brought them against their will. How is God going to tell Pharaoh, loose my people? Pharaoh said, these people came here on their own. God, you're treating me like I captured these people. I didn't capture them. They came here. Their leader, your prophet, led them here. So how was God going to bring freedom to these slaves? He has a great master plan. First, he will elevate them from slavery to sonship. Woo! Glory to God, as long as they're slaves, Pharaoh can still hold. Oh, glory to God, I feel like talking in tongues. Hallelujah. As long as they're slaves, Pharaoh can have a claim on them. Don't you see? It's the same way with you. Without that baptism of the Holy Ghost, the devil's got that claim on you. Hallelujah. So God said, he is my son. Before you deliver them. Praise be to God. In order to show that he took nothing unjustly away from Pharaoh, he changes their position. Somebody come preach my notes while I shout. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Oh, that changes everything. Don't it? So you're not telling a slave owner to release slaves. You're telling a tyrant to let your boy come home. Hallelujah. This is why the Lord Jesus came to the earth to seek and save that which was lost. And he told the devil, hallelujah to God, let my sons go. Let my daughters go and come back home. Praise be to God. Notice, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. God was not content with just calling Israel his son, but he called him his firstborn. Now here from the beginning, we see the end. Moses, they never went down there yet. But we see the message of the firstborn. We see the deliverance of Israel through the firstborn. And we see the death to the Egyptians through the firstborn. Oh. Glory to God, don't you understand how our deliverance must come? There must be a firstborn that was born through a woman that was not fathered by man. It must be a special creation. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. A nation of slaves. A people that was nobody. Had no God, no nation. And God condescended to such a level that God through Moses says, tell him it's my firstborn son. Now the firstborn meant the same to Pharaoh as it meant to Israel or to the Parthians or whoever it was. The firstborn was a special status. When you go to calling them your firstborn, then that means you're also saying, I am their divine father. And if you don't let them go, you're going to answer to Papa. Because I just officially raised their status. Amen. I just officially raised their status from being slaves to being my son, and not only my son, but my firstborn. As my sons, they have heavenly privileges. Lord. They have privilege of a high birth. Do you know that monkeys and certain baboons have this in their society? Certain monkeys and baboons said if you're born into a certain family, you have rights all the rest of monkeys don't have. In other words, some of the monkeys can get out there and go to picking up nuts or whatever more and do all the work and get all the food. And that high-born monkey can sit around and not get out there and have to do near as much, but can actually force you out of your mouth to give him the food you went out there and got. Now, you can put up a little bit of resistance, but if you put up very long, the whole troop will jump up on you and whoop you like ugly on ape. And you'd wish you'd give up in pumpkin seeds. There ain't no pumpkin seeds worth a black eye. Why? Because that little monkey ain't got no soul. That monkey has not been set down and taught by a bunch of quotes or a bunch of scripture. But that monkey by nature knows it is high born. Lord have mercy. That monkey knows he is high born. And he'll walk right up to those that are older than him. Walk up to those that's labored more than him. And pull that food right out of their mouth. Because that monkey is high born. Hallelujah to God. I don't deserve this grace. I don't deserve this word. But I am high born. Amen. I am high born. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine some of you used to be drunks and liars and this and that and the other, but you got another birth. Now you're the top monkey. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't deserve this grace. I don't deserve this mercy, but hand it over, it's mine. I said, I don't deserve it, but hand it over, devil, it's mine. The Lord. Glory to God, glory to God. Notice, friends, this verse changes everything. Look at verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go. God is not now stealing another man's property. God is not setting free a bunch of slaves which have been bought. Amen. But God is claiming the parental rights. Lord have mercy, children. That's why he wants to speak to the sickness in your body. That's why he wants to speak to the sin in your soul and say, let my son go. You demon of disease, let my daughter go. Let my daughter go. Let my son go. You demon of sickness, let him go. You can't hold him anymore. This is not a slave. This is my son. This is my son. Let my son go. God, why do you want them free?
What does freedom mean? Freedom to do what you want? Live any way you choose? Act any way you choose? I say unto thee, let my son go! And this is my reason, that he may serve me. God sets you free from sin. Not so you could come under the claims of Christianity and do the same things you done when you was a sinner. Come on, children. God never set you free so you could come under the claim of a Christian and live the same kind of life. God said, let my son go that he may serve me. God don't set us free so we can go back to the world and serve the devil. You imagine Moses walking in before Pharaoh the first time. God said, Israel is my son. Really? He sure ain't took care of him very good. Bunch of peasants. I have to feed them. I got to take care of them. But God said he changed their status. They don't know it yet, but they're sons. They've still got slave mentality, which many of you still got the same thing. You're serving God out of fear. You need to serve him because out of sonship. Amen. I ain't got a television because I'm scared to go to hell. I ain't got one because I believe what the word says about him. I don't drink and smoke and this and that and the other because I'm scared I'll go to hell. I do it because I was set free to serve my Lord. I live this word not because I'm in bondage, but because I'm free. I'm free to live this way. Amen. Now watch. This is the end at the beginning. And the beginning is the end. And I say unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son. Uh-oh. Oh my. Even thy firstborn. So this whole thing is about firstborns. Amen. Now let me close by saying this. In order for you and I to truly be born again, the firstborn's got to die. Because my firstborn wasn't the right born. If my real firstborn would have been firstborn, then my secondborn would have been born in the right place. You understand? If my soul would have been the firstborn by the breath of God, then when my body was actually born, it would have been all right. But my firstborn was this right here. And what's God going to do, Brother Darrell? God's going to break forth on this and say, your firstborn's got to die. Your firstborn's got to die. That the firstborn might be born of the soul under the display of the token of the blood. What separated the firstborn of Egypt from the firstborn of Israel? The token of the blood. Amen. Here we are. Born again, and the firstborn in our soul is born in the image of God, and this still bears the image of the beast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you imagine as God begins to unfold this mystery to Moses, it's all making more sense. Him thinking in his mind, how in the justice of God, the courts of God's justice, can I walk in there and just tell Pharaoh to let all these slaves go? What if he tells me, Jacob, your father, sent them down here? Jacob, your father, was the one who brought them. What am I going to say? How am I going to respond?
Amen.
God done had it all figured out.
Amen.
So God tells him, when you preach your first message, I want you to start out on sonship. Preach Pharaoh a little message on adoption. And tell him, take your text. Israel is my son. Glory to God. I'm doing some studying last week on health. I found some really powerful statements where Brother Brown talked about health. He called it health, and then he called it divine health. Not divine healing, but divine health. And he used the symbolism over and over again about God looking at the Red Sea. His children was there at the Red Sea. And that God, with angry eyes, looked down through that pillar of fire and looked at that Red Sea. And the Red Sea got scared. And it rolled back when God looked at it. Then Brother Branham would use that example, and he said, may those of you tonight that are sick, may the angry eyes of God look at that sickness in your life. And may that sickness roll away as it looks through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And may you cross over into the promise of divine health. Lord have mercy. Amen. You imagine the anger of God. The anger of God looking at them migraines. The anger of God looking at that stomach trouble or kidney trouble, whatever it is. The anger of God looking through the blood of Jesus. And that kidney trouble may not be afraid of you, but when he sees them big burning blazing eyes. Oh my. Don't you stand there and try to scare him, but you stand there at the brink of the river and say, these are my promises. And let God look through the blood of Jesus and scare your kidney trouble right back down in the pits of hell. Amen. Let God scare your oppression right back down to the devil where it belongs, and let God say, he is my son, she is my daughter, let her go. Hallelujah. God can say the same thing about every one of you that's got the Holy Ghost. He or she is my firstborn. Glory to God. We are the firstborn of the family of God. That's why we're brothers with Peter. We're not 13th cousins or 46th cousins. We stand right there beside Peter and Paul and James and Bartholomew. They're our brothers. Hallelujah. One day on that morning, whatever time it is, when our theophanies are released, and our brothers and sisters are released from the sixth dimension, and God will look down through that blood of Jesus again and say, death, let Donnie go. I may be 58 or 59 or 60 or 65 or 70 or 75. It don't matter if I'm 983. When God looks down there and said, let him go, his soul is my firstborn. The firstborn gets a double portion. That's why the rapture is for the firstborn. The rapture is for the church of the firstborn, not Laodicea. We are not only saved from sin, we're saved from tribulation. We get a double portion. Death! If you refuse to let him go, well, I've already smote you. I smote you at Calvary. You ain't nothing but a big bag of wind, so go blow somewhere else. Let him go. They are my firstborn. Glory to God. I wish I was out in the woods right now by myself, where I could act like I feel. Let me read this again before we go. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son.
Amen.
Even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son. Even that first one. That's why I said this is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning. This is the end. This is the end. This is the beginning. What's it all about? The firstborn. Don't you understand? Satan somehow broke in. God allowed him to break into the plan of God and be the first one to have a firstborn. Look back at Cain. So the first one that was ever born into the earth, Satan could lay claim on him and said, I beat you. I beat you. But God waited patiently. Glory! Esau was born. Second said, I got you again. On and on and on it goes. So finally you come a virgin, be it unto me according to thy word. Then God could say, got you. Got you. Got you. I had to wait longer, but I got the better product. Because this is me and my firstborn. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for your precious word, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We too who were slaves. But whether it was driving down a road or sitting at a bar stool or in a barn or wherever it was, something spoke to us. Something moved in our heart. Of course, we didn't know what it was so much at the time. But it was the same thing taking place. You were speaking to the angel of death that was holding our soul. This is my son. Let him go. Hallelujah. This is my daughter. Lord Jesus, how grateful we are tonight, Lord. This is why we can stand here tonight and have joy, hope, peace, faith, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, love, all these things, because we are not slaves. I am not a slave. Hallelujah. I am your firstborn. It's amazing, Lord. How many thousands, tens of thousands, millions maybe, around the world tonight could say the same thing. I'm your firstborn. The devil could only have one, and that was Cain. But you could have multiple generations born over thousands of years, and every one of them would still be the firstborn. Because it is a generation of firstborns. Hallelujah. Every one of them is born of the Holy Ghost. Or firstborn. It's like the firstborn you ever had. The whole experience is had all over again. Thank you, Lord. Here we are tonight, 2,000 years after the gospel was initiated, with the same power of God, with the same doctrine, with the same kind of people, acting the same kind of way they did on the day of Pentecost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why? We are the church of the firstborn. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there's any here tonight, or any under the sound of my voice, Lord, maybe they're still under that slave mentality. And in reality, in their experience, that's what they are. They're slaves. May they hear the voice of God speak to them tonight. May they hear that something. Don't never really be free. To me, Lord, this was the dividing line from the very beginning of the Exodus. It would be this that would separate Joshua and Caleb and Hur and Aaron and all the rest of them from the unbelievers. The firstborn would catch the emphasis of the message. The others would debate. They'd take sides with Korah and they'd join sides with this and that and the other. They was the ones that fall along the wayside. But the firstborn would be the ones like Caleb that said, I am 80 years old this day. And he said, I am just as able today to fight as I was 40 years ago. Why? Caleb was firstborn. Hallelujah. Then his brother Othniel, he said, whoever are going, you and help me fight this land, I'll give them to me, my daughters, one of my daughters' wife. Othniel went in and fought him with Caleb. We know Caleb was a Gentile that was grafted in, firstborn in the tribe of Judah. Othniel, his brother, to be like God, the Lion of God. They was grafted into the tribe of Judah. So here was Othniel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He went in as the church of the firstborn. Them giants that left under the administration of Joshua, they drove them out, but they didn't kill them. And when Joshua went on north and began to conquer the territory, them giants moved right back in. That is until Caleb and Othniel come in. Glory to God. Years had passed now and they'd grown stronger. But when Caleb and Othniel come in, they not only run them out, they killed them. Glory to God. Father, in the years of the 50s and the 60s, whenever disease and all this was hampered and it was laid aside and miracles have transpired, but the bride's fixing to do something right now that was greater than the miracles in the 50s. That is, we're going to defy death itself. Lord have mercy. It won't just be for a miracle that will be healed for 10 days or 12 days or 12 years. But the bride in the last days is going to defy death for the last time. We will defeat death because we are the firstborn. The firstborn. Hallelujah. We are ordained not just for miracles and to be healed. We are ordained to take death. Glory to God. Lord Jesus. My Lord God. Oh, my Lord God. Who are we that we could go in your stead? Lord Jesus, we feel like poor examples of humanity. But Lord, you and your grace called us. Give me and these brothers and your other God-called men around the world the courage to stand and tell your people they are not slaves. They are sons and daughters. Firstborn. They have heavenly rights. They have divine parenthood. Oh, glory to God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, let's sing something before I start singing in another language. Oh, glory. I felt it almost so strong for the last 30 minutes. I can't hardly speak in English. Oh, glory to God. It's not the tongues of men that I feel near me. It's the language of another world. Oh, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's like a battery in here tonight, trying to send a charge through me. Glory to God. Oh, children, why don't you just move over into that realm and let your glorified body move over and hear you. Maybe you need a little charge of joy, a little charge of peace, a charge of healing. He knows what you need. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My God, my God. May we hear your voice tonight. Hallelujah. Maybe not hear it so much. Happy Valley is my firstborn. The message people personalize it for us, Lord. Donnie, Harry, Daryl, Brad, whoever it is, Lord, may we hear that personal voice of God. You are my son. May we feel the hands of the master. Hallelujah. As it picks up that old violin. Who gave me 50 cents, dollar and a half, $2? Any more bids? Let the master pick up and rosin the bow. Blow the dust off of the violin. And let the master bring out the full manifestation of the image that is here. Oh, Lord God. Even though you call me to preach and gifted me since I was a boy. As long as I keep that gift, what will I do with it? But Lord God, let me give it to you. And then you give it back to me and let me borrow it. And then you won't call it Donnie's gifts, but you call it my gift that I let Donnie borrow. That I let Donnie have charge of and watch over and pray and be careful with my gift, Donnie. Watch what you do with it. Then let the rod of God do miracles.
Let the rod of God speak the word. Lord, if I just keep the gift of preaching, the ability to study, I'd probably just make a theologian out of it. But Lord God, let me give it to you. Oh, Jesus, and let you change lives with it, Lord God. Lord, let all these singers and songwriters and whatever more that we are, Lord, may we not take pride in, oh, my gift is this and my gift is that, my gift is something else. But Lord God, may we lay that gift in your hands. Lord, let you supernaturally charge it, then you'll give it back and rename it, and you'll call it the gift of God. The gift of God in Daryl's life, the gift of God in this songwriter and this deacon, whatever more, then the rod of God will do miracles. Change lives. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing something, Harry. Brother Joel, would you come? We got a baptism tonight. Eliana is going to be baptized, and she asked me if I'd baptize her. So we're going to prepare for that. Let's just worship. If all of you shout and take off running out the parking lot, that's all right. We'll wait till you get back. If you come back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Who am I? Let's sing "Who Am I That a King Would Leave and Die For." I was just wondering about that little monkey, if he ever caught a glimpse of himself in the water and got the strange realization that he wasn't any different than anybody there. Just his birth and selection. And I'm thankful that I've been chosen. Who am I?
Who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, not my will thine for? The answer I begin. To an old rugged cross He would go. For who am I?
Sing that verse.
When I think of how He came so far from glory, He came such as I. He'd suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. And I ask myself this question: who am I? Who am I that a King would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, not my will for? The answer I beginning to know, why He'd ever love me so, that to an old rugged cross He would go.
Simple understanding of what Lord, that she's asked you to forgive her for sins. And to, as she said, come into her heart. Lord, I pray tonight that you would just help her in her perception, in her understanding of you. Lord, I have the ability as a man to be able to take her and immerse her in this water. But may you make the claim, she is my firstborn. May the Holy Ghost fill her, Lord Jesus, I pray. We know John the Baptist went into the wilderness at the age of 9. And yet we know civilization and the mind and the intelligence of man has advanced so much farther now than it was 2,000 years ago. So Lord, I believe that children, very small, can be able to perceive and understand. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd be with her and help her, dear God. In obedience to your word, I'm going to baptize her, Lord Jesus. And may you carry out your part, I pray. Amen. Stand over here.
Okay. Eliana, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering reach across the sky and these hallelujahs be multiplied. Let's sing it again. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky and these hallelujahs be multiplied. As you go, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky and these hallelujahs be more. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky and these hallelujahs be multiplied. Mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering reach across the sky. These surrender to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky.